Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Many of you have been on the show previously when we have had Mariam Jacobs, psychosocial therapist and author of a release book, Suspended Values in Concentration Camp and Prisons. She is back with us today to speak more on some of these issues that we discussed previously regarding the penal system and the need to reform prisons in the U.S., and more about her book. So I want everyone to feel free to call in, listen in, or whatever the case may be. Join us today as we interview our special guest, whom we have not heard from for some time, and I welcome her once again, Mariam Jacobs from the Netherlands. Mariam, are you on with us?
Hello, Leona. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. You know, I love having people on from the Netherlands, especially you, because you've been with us for so long and you've had so much insight to give on the comparison between the prisons in the penal system in your countries compared to the country here in the U.S. So please introduce yourself a little bit more on you, and then we can get started with the show. And once again, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Leona. Well, my name is Mariam Jacobs. I'm a psychosocial therapist, and I also work as a therapist in the Dutch prison system. That's based on voluntary work. I wrote my book a while ago. It's called Suspended Values in Concentration Camp and Prison. And in my book, I did research. And I compared the underlying structure of the concentration camps in World War II and the present detention centers in the United States. And I saw some similarities, which were very interesting to discover. And I wrote all this in my book. Yeah, that's my introduction for now.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, what I want to add is that when I work with the people in the prison, but also in my other work, I try to also find underlying issues that people carry with them. So I try to look behind the crime to the individual. And these insights can give the opportunity for incarcerated people to heal themselves within.
And one of the things I'd like to add to what Mariam was saying is we have a lot of people that have come on this show that have spoken about a lot of issues in the U.S. prisons. And I want everyone to know Mariam Jacobs is well familiar with the prisons in the U.S. as she has advocated for incarcerated individuals herself in the United States. And she has been in prisons in the United States as well, as Franz Dowett, as I mentioned before, with him in the Massachusetts and New York prisons and Texas. And so I want everyone to realize that when people write books on the comparison between prisons in different countries, or if they just write books about the things that go on in the prisons, unless they've been in there, unless they've seen for themselves and experienced and worked with people incarcerated, they really don't know what they're talking about. We watch CNN News, we watch MSNBC, we watch all these news stations that report on issues within the penal system in other places, and they have never even been in the prisons to speak with incarcerated individuals. So I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention before we start the show. So Mariam, it's been a long time since you've been on the show. Can you give us an update on some of the things that you've been working on? And also, if you can, let the audience know about your book, where they can find it, some of the things, and also speak a little bit more on deeper justice, which you initiated prior to the book.
Yes, well, the book you can find at the publisher site, and that's www.maklu.nl, and they sent the book worldwide, so you can order it there, and you also can find it on Amazon, the Dutch Amazon, and also the Dutch Amazon sent it worldwide. I am doing some research for my next book, which is about responsibility and how far are we responsible for the things that we do, and how far is the path and the past of somebody of influence on the actions that they take in later life. So I'm going in depth of this issue, and it's very, very nuanced. So I need to take my time to do this correctly. I think what I figured out, in December, I was in an American prison in Massachusetts. I've been thinking a lot about what I've seen there while, you know, I was visiting. And I think what a big problem is in the United States system is the indifference towards incarcerated individuals. I wrote an article for the Dutch prison paper. It still has to be published. I wrote it yesterday. And I come to the conclusion that, for instance, when I was visiting, we were supposed to see that individual from behind glass. And I saw, and it seems a very tiny thing, I saw that the glass was very dirty. We almost could not see our loved one. And not cleaning up the glass is a way of being indifferent towards incarcerated people, because they are not worth of a clean environment, for instance. I think indifference towards another person is more harmful and more difficult than hate, because you can fight hate, but you cannot fight against indifference. If somebody is indifferent towards you, the other let you know that you are less than a human being. And I saw these very small things, which are not small, in fact, but they are huge. And those are all these little things are parts of the system of power, because the United States prison system is really a system of power. Sometimes I also think that in the United States, we talk about rights inside the system, that incarcerated people have rights, but I believe those are privileges and not rights, because these so-called rights can easily be taken away if you say something wrong or you do something wrong. Again, I experienced when we entered the system that I had to do everything right, you know, with the procedures to get inside the system, because if you do anything wrong or you say anything wrong, it can mess up your whole visit. That is a sign of this power that the system has, and it's really a sign and an element of suppression also from visitors, not only incarcerated people, but also their families, their loved ones, their visitors. So yes, I experienced that again very, very deeply.
You know, something else I wanted to mention too. One of the things I recently noticed and experienced was that there was a prisoner who had been incarcerated for almost 30 years now, and from the time that the person was sentenced, he was shipped out of state with the excuse that there was a threat made on his life. And he was out of the state for 12 years. During his absence from his home state, they had his appeal, his trial appeal, and he was not even allowed to be present because he was not in state. And they had appointed a public defender to represent him, which he had very little contact with. He had, I believe it was a couple of contacts with his court-appointed attorney, but the appeal was denied. But years and years later, he was returned to his home state, and that label that they used, that there was a threat made against his life, and that was the label they used for years to deprive him of moving to any prisons that were closer to support, closer to family. And it wasn't until about maybe months ago this year that the person that they claimed had a threat made against, that had him on his enemy list, That person himself wrote a letter saying that he didn't even know this individual. So all these years, a prisoner was deprived with the excuse that there was a threat made on his life and he was on someone else's enemies list. And it turned out to be a false statement. But then this is almost 30 years later. And I wanted to ask your thoughts, Miriam, on something like this, because many people in society look at things like this. When they see or hear that a person is on another person's enemies list, they automatically assume that that prisoner or those prisoners are both criminals. I mean, hardcore criminals. When it's all something that's set up itself by the Department of Corrections around the country. And this is a way that the Department of Corrections around the country tries to escalate the fears in the people on the outside. So what are your thoughts on something like this?
Well, I can fit it in this whole picture of power play. It's pure power play, but it's almost invisible on the outside. It seems all legal. It seems all, you know, going normal. He's been threatened. That's what they say, and he has been on an enemies list. But it's all nonsense. It's all to suppress him. What I said, it's all part of this power play. And this power play is in everything. The whole system, it breathes power play. But it's so difficult to see because it's exactly this play that I describe in the book, how it works. But it's so nuanced. It's so smart. It's a smart game. And it's so hidden that, you know, when I did my research on it, it took me almost 2 years to get it really clear. Now I do recognize it. I recognize it in the story you're telling me. I recognize it from my own visit in November. You know, these little, quote-unquote, little things. And it's not a suppression of the incarcerated individual, but it's a suppression of the whole family. And that's the same as what you see with the rights, the so-called rights. There are no rights in prison. There are no rights for incarcerated people. It's all about privileges, and privileges we know can be taken away easily. Like what you see now, there are now in your state, it's now, you know, incarcerated people can do free phone calls. But we hope that this will stay. You know, every day, it's a day that we can have phone calls, but maybe now it's going to change. There is no, it all seems random, you know. So we don't have the right for these free phone calls. It's a privilege. Privileges can be taken away every day, and that makes it so unpredictable. The system is so unpredictable, and being unpredictable. Help to suppress people, you see, and that's exactly the same what's happening with, you know, what you described now, and that makes it so dangerous, and it makes it so you cannot grasp the system, and that's why it can maintain, and it, you know, it can go on. Nobody can really grasp what is really going on inside it.
No, you're right about that. Inconsistency in the United States is something that's a major issue. And I was talking with someone the other day about that. It's almost as though we have social services in the United States, and people work with families. As a social worker, I myself in the past have worked with individuals, adolescents, families and children, families with children. And one of the things that I noticed in going into a lot of the homes throughout those years have been that there's so much chaos in the homes. And it's primarily because of the inconsistencies. I remember going into a home one time where the five-year-old child was on the table, the kitchen table, as I sat with the mother talking about some of the issues that they were, you know, being subjected to, single parent with the child. And the child was hanging on to the chandelier over the kitchen table. And when the mother took the child off the table, she put the child on the floor, and the child grabbed hold of the dog's tail and was pulling it. The dog was running, trying to get away from her. But the child had ADHD, which a lot of people in the audience, if you don't know, is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it escalates the problem when there's a lot of chaos going on in the home. We have that in the United States. Every state in the United States has the same problems. But however, unfortunately, every state is run differently in the way they run their
yeah.
system and so many mm-hmm. other things. And they wonder why there's so much inconsistency. And so what are your thoughts on some of these issues as well, Marion?
Well, what I think is it's these inconsistencies, because the word that I was looking for. In the example what you mentioned is you can also see that they don't seek for solutions in depth. What you said about ADHD, I told that in the past, I work with adults who have ADHD, autism, or ADD, and I work with them in depth. I look behind the diagnosis at, you know, who is this person with ADHD? And it's a very personal situation. And the people that I am mentoring, I have these sessions with them for a year at least, sometimes 2 or even 3 years, because it takes that time for them to integrate that part, their diagnosis, in the whole being. And exactly the same you can apply to incarcerated people. When you really want to invest in people, then you really have to go through these processes with them in depth. But what you see in the United States, and you don't only see it in prisons, but you see it on all kinds of levels, politics does not invest in their own citizens. They only invest in wars, in the military industry, and the 1% of the 1% of the rich people. They invest in the huge corporations. You are going to have these elections in November. Well, in Iowa, there was this election for the Republicans. Trump won. And then I believe there was this woman,
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, she was second. And I read in the news that she was very happy that she was second because of the donor money. It's, you know, the donations. So your politicians are not, how shall I say it? It's not about the political standpoints. It's about money. It's about donations. That's what they preach for. And that's what I hope that people one day see. I mean, you know, I think that there will be election again between, you know, this, between Biden and Trump. Those are only two people, you know, because only the Republicans and the Democrats, they have all this money to spend. So it's about money. It's not about political standpoints. It's not about how to develop the country as it is. Your country is so much involved in these wars. Now it's in Gaza and it's in Ukraine. And you mentioned these news channels like Fox and all that. They only have had this rhetoric and these lies. They are not honest. So there is so much going on in your country, so much going on in your country, really. And I think there is a lot going to happen worldwide.
You know, I actually believe that. And I wanted to say, as far as the legislative members, one of the things that I noticed, and going back to inconsistencies, is, and it's confusing, the Iowa caucus, the event that they held the other day, you mentioned Nikki Haley, and I wanted to say this was very confusing. And I was grateful, though, hearing her bring up the fact that there is a problem in this country of mental illnesses that need to be addressed. And she's the first one I've heard so far of the legislative members, of those running for the candidacy for president, the mental health issues. But one of the things that I noticed about Nikki Haley, I wasn't aware of this until Ron DeSantis from Florida, the governor from Florida, who was also running, he mentioned that she had Indian in her background. This was surprising because Nikki Haley, although she continues to say the U.S. is not a racist country, she has Indian blood in her, and that was never brought up. It was, and so I never knew that. But when she keeps talking about there is no racism, I look at her audience. And whenever I look at her audience, and I'll tell you, if anyone watches her and looks at her audience, they will not see a person of color in the audience unless I'm missing something. Unless I am missing something.
But why is she saying that there is no racism in the country?
Well, this was what, and it's been brought up on the news stations. They're talking about it. They're saying, why is she saying there's no race? This is not a racist country when, in fact, she knows as well as everyone else that there have been so many racist issues. And Ron Santis followed suit. He said that this is not a racist country, but, and he brought up the fact that there are racial issues that need to be addressed. So when I talk about the inconsistencies that go on in this country, it's sad to say it, but even in the political campaign for presidency, there is so much inconsistency in what they're saying.
Yeah.
Which makes us wonder who is telling the truth, who is satisfying the public.
Exactly. And, you know, keeping the public confused is also a way to have power over those people. Because it's nonsense to say that the United States is not a racist country, because racism is a huge part of why you have mass incarceration. If there would not have been racism, there would not have been mass incarceration. We know the numbers. We know how many people of color are locked up in prison. So
yes,
it's nonsense. Yes. But I think, you know, racism, you know, when people fight each other over color or an issue like abortion or name it, name the issues. When people fight each other, then they are not focused on the politicians. You get this idea of divide and conquer. They divide the people so they can conquer them.
That's the truth.
I wish that people would see that they have to unite to stand up against these politicians who do not spend the tax money to develop their own society and the communities, but they use the tax money for overseas wars. And that happened since World War II. It started maybe with Vietnam. I don't know which one was the first one, but it never stopped. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, now you name so many countries, and it's always the same pattern. It's always, they start a war first by overthrowing the government in that country, saying they want to bring democracy, but they bring only chaos, and they kill millions of people because those countries are weaker, but they have a lot of natural resources, and the United States puts their military armies in those countries in order to overpower them because they want to have world domination. And now you have Russia and you have China and you have more countries, the BRICS countries, they say enough is enough. We don't want the West to interfere with us anymore. So I think in the end, and that end might be this year or next year, I think in the end, World War III has already started with these little proxy wars, or little, big proxy wars. But in the end, I think it will be a world war between East and West. That's what I think. I mean, I'm not a predictor, but that's what I think.
I'm glad you're talking about that, because that's what a lot of people are thinking in this country. And even though we don't hear it from everybody because we're not interested, this is what I'm saying about our legislative government, our government that is running. They're not interested in hearing about these things that the little people are talking about, but they need to be. Because as you mentioned, and others have said the same thing, we are heading for a world war. And it's primarily because we're getting into everybody else's business. And we shouldn't be. Unfortunately, that's what's causing Trump to get all these high ratings, because our current government is bowing down into these other countries for whatever reasons. And I think that these countries, like some of these countries like Israel and even Ukraine, have something over our government. Otherwise, I don't see why it would be so devastatingly important for them to continue to be getting involved in these wars that pretty much can take care of themselves. These people that are fighting have been fighting for years and years and years, thousands of years, without our help. And now the U.S. government has put the U.S., the American people, in the middle of wars that don't even have anything to do with us. So when they said, when they say we're defending our country, they're not defending our country. And since they got involved in all these other countries, NATO countries have pretty much backed away to let the United States put in all their monies to these countries. And these countries in NATO are not spending anything or very little. Yeah. And the United States of America is now becoming like a third world country. And as you mentioned, the prison system is so mass incarceration, so populated. This is sad because the prison system is making money off of these people that are going into the prisons while money is being sent, that money that's coming into this country or coming into this pocket of these, the Department of Corrections around the country, the money is coming in for the U.S. government and themselves, and the U.S. government sending money across the board, across the pond.
Yeah. When you look at the war between Russia and Ukraine, it's in fact a war between Russia and the United States, because you know, 2 weeks after the invasion of Russia in Ukraine, Ukraine and Russia had an agreement, and what happened in Turkey, they came to an agreement. So after 2 weeks after the invasion, the whole thing could have been stopped. But then the United States and Great Britain, they went to Zelensky and said, we don't want you to agree with this agreement. We want you to start to continue the war. Which television channel is saying this? The United States wants to weaken Russia. That's the whole purpose. Ukraine is only the scapegoat. It's used in order to weaken Russia. It's so not, and Europe is going along with the United States. We have these sanctions on Russia. In the Netherlands and in other European countries, we are not allowed to use Russian gas and oil. So Russia, instead of Russia weakening because of that, it's now selling oil to India and I believe China. India is selling the oil to the Netherlands. So we still use Russian oil, but we pay twice as much because of these stupid sanctions. That's the game. It's incredible, insane. And what we see now in Europe, in the Netherlands, but also it was Sweden, I believe, other countries, they are talking about that in the near future, we have to get used that our economy will become a military economy because we are afraid that Russia wants to invade other countries. Putin has never talked about invading other countries. He's not doing that. But we are, they talk us into fear. So if there is a war going to be started, it's not because of a real threat, it's only because of fear. It's beyond craziness. It's beyond madness, really. These games are really insane. And Ukraine is the great, the big victim. But before Russia invaded Ukraine, Ukraine had a president who was, how do you say that? Who could get along with Russia very well. And there were no problems. But the United States, they wanted to get rid of Lukashenko. That was Lukashenko. So they got rid of Lukashenko, and then they appointed this puppet, Zelensky. And then they could start this war. So there is a whole other agenda behind this war as what we see on television. When you go to YouTube, there are a lot alternative news which are honest. People who know Russia, who know China, who know There are two, like you have Gregor McDonald, I believe that he's called, Scott Redder. They are have big positions in the United States, in the military. They know what they're talking about, and they explain exactly what is happening between countries. And that's what I want to know. I want to understand what's happening. I'm not pro-Russian, but I'm also not pro-West. I don't take a standpoint, but I want to understand what is happening. And when you go into that material, then you see that there is a lot of lies. People want to, these news channels, they are funded by big corporations, by politicians. So these news channels, they show you what, you know, these funders want you to see. And it's really, it's insane. It's, that's what Trump was writing. There is so much fake news now, really. There is, but you can find the real news. If you want to take the effort, there are honest channels, little channels. And that's how I find my information. And then you see a whole different story.
I think we live in a country that the citizens of this country, the people of the United States of America, they don't try to find out the truth about anything, whether it be in the prisons, whether it be in the politics.
No.
They don't try. And what they do is they listen to others and they get their information from anybody else but seek. It's just like the Bible. People don't search the Bible. They listen to pastors and priests who themselves are going to schools of theology taught by other people. They don't get the truth, even about biblical scriptures. But this is sad, because until the people of the United States does their own research, does or listens to all of this BS that goes on in the penal system and in the politics, they don't know the truth. And what happens with advocates is there's a lot of ignorant advocates out there who don't know the truth, but because of whom they're connected with, they listen to anything and everything, and then they're out there dishing it out to people in the communities that are getting false information. We have a serious problem in this country with a lot of the things you're talking about, and it's unfortunate. The people from other countries watching the United States and everything that they're doing are the ones that are seeing it, seeing the truth. Now, Joe Biden, the president, says if he doesn't run, he's running to prevent Donald Trump from becoming from getting elected. But what people don't realize is, unfortunately, Joe Biden, the president, is making it worse for the public. It's making it worse because right now there are so many people in this country and around the world that are dissatisfied with him. And he's making it worse because of him, it's possible that Donald Trump will get in again. And unfortunately, there's not enough Democrats running. A recent one just came forward, and his name was Dean Phillips. He's a Democrat running, and I believe he's from Virginia. And then, of course, we have Andy Williams Jr. He's running as We the People Party. But these are the two, and they're not heard of, which is very, it was very disappointing because enough people haven't heard of them, and when they talk about some of these things that they want to do to make the United States better and not divided but united, people don't want to hear it because they don't know these people, unfortunately.
No, it was this military professional from the United States, Scott Redder. You can find him on YouTube. He's very intelligent, but he explains the things that everybody can understand it. And he says a lot of American people, and he is American, he says, I love my country, but too many American people are ignorant. So as long as they have food on the table, as long as they can pay the rent, as long as they can drive their car, they don't think any further. And he really, I think he's right. People are not critical enough. They are like blind sheep following, you know, the big voices. And, you know, like this party you mentioned, the alternative people?
Yes, Dean Phillips and Andy Williams Jr.
Yeah, they might not have enough donation money. And that's so sad. It's so sad that these this is not really an election. This is not really democracy, because this is based on millions of dollars, and it's not based on true politics. And so that's not democracy. Then even the elections are fake. It's only for the public to make it look like democracy, but it isn't. Because it's said that you can become a president if you have enough money, but you cannot become a president because you have wonderful ideas for the country. And that's not democracy. That's not democracy. And that's why you also have mass incarceration. You see the same games as what you see in politics, the same games you see in the system. And that's so sad.
Yeah. And then we have promises made during election time by so many people. We have all these promises made that they're going to do this for the American people, they're going to do that. And even with the penal system, the current president and current vice president made promises that they were going to do something about the criminal justice issues, and nothing's been done about it. And the thing that surprises me is that one of the callers, Rick. But the thing is, they make these promises that they don't keep. And unfortunately, it's the criminal justice reform and all of these things. These are promises that are just to get people to vote for them. And a lot of the things that are in listening to the news, a lot of the, even with Nikki Haley, she's saying all these things because they said she and others are saying just what the public wants to hear. But they don't really mean what they're saying. And this is another reason why it's so important to follow these kind of issues. But the prison issue is a major one. Mass incarceration, the lies that are going on, the union is as powerful. I hate to say it, but the union is as powerful as Donald Trump. They're as powerful as Donald Trump. And that's why legislative members are actually afraid to challenge them, just like the courts are afraid to challenge Donald Trump. And people are getting sick and tired of hearing about the court putting a gag order on Donald Trump and doing this and doing that. They don't do anything. And as you can see, Donald Trump and his lawyers, they're laughing about it. They're laughing about the government, the system that we have, because these people are too afraid to do anything. They're too afraid to follow through with what they're saying. And now, not only Donald Trump and his lawyers, but everyone around the world sees that the government, U.S. government, is a farce.
I think the real deciders of the deciding people in the country, the real power is not in the hands of politics. It's in the hand of the big, the huge million-dollar industry. They decide, because you also see, it's called a revolving door. You see the intertwining between politics and corporal power. And corporal power decides, for instance, what laws are going to be written. It's not the politics anymore. It's really the billion-dollar corporations. They are the real power, and they decide what is going to happen in the country. And, you know, the citizen is no longer the goal. The welfare of the citizen is no longer the goal. Citizens are only tools to make money from. That's it. Or to get votes from. And that's sad. And you see that the mass incarceration, I remember that, you know, years ago when Obama was in power, that he even visited a prison and he talked with incarcerated people and nothing changed.
Well, that was you said Barack Obama?
Yeah, that was Barack Obama. He visited the prison and he talked. I saw that there was a documentary also on YouTube, where you see that he, you know, visits a prison and he is in a circle with incarcerated individuals. He talks to them. They tell them what is happening in the system, what they endure, etc. Nothing changed. Why? Who benefits from mass incarceration? The benefiters have the power. And that's
okay.
A shame.
There was a caller, apparently, audience, I want you to know, if you click on the links to listen to, or anyone, if anyone clicks on the link and they can't hear it, and they let you know, please let them know. They have to click on it a couple of times, two or three times, and it'll come on. It'll work to listen in. It could be some that don't have certain equipment that are trying to get in. This is this individual said that I couldn't get the program to play. I tried pressing the play button, and then I tried installing the Facebook plugin. Neither one worked. So, Rick, I just sent you a message to let you know to click on it a couple of times. It should work. I tried it and it does work. So, but Mariam, again, I want to get back to some of these things that we are in. This country is in chaos. It's so inconsistent. And when I talk about the problems in every country, but the resolutions to all these problems are different, it's not a federal thing. You know, the president can go into a federal prison and he can pardon prisoners, or he can release prisoners in other ways. But when we're talking about governors, we have such a diversity in when it comes to governors in every state, because some governors have more of a fair heart, a caring and compassionate heart, and want to do the right things. While other governors have this hatred, and I'm so bad, like Governor, what's his name, Governor DeSantis in Florida. And he says this, it was strange because Governor DeSantis was saying this is not a racist country, but yet he himself has demonstrated his racist attitudes.
Yeah.
And I will say Nikki Haley did bring this up. She said, Governor DeSantis is saying it's not a racist country, but yet he's the one that took the history, the black history out of the schools, or is trying to. And then you have Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, who has an awful attitude. This man, maybe it's because he's crippled, maybe because he's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, but he has such an attitude. And I don't believe immigrants are coming over here. Not all immigrants are coming over here on their own. You know, I think a lot of them are actually being recruited to come into this country with promises of jobs. And I think Governor Abbott has a lot to do with that. And when they get here, they're getting sent away. Unfortunately, there was a mother, a single mother with two children that drowned at the border. This was just this past week, just a few days ago. And they said that Greg Abbott would not allow them to let this woman and her two children through the border. So they watched while she drowned. And this Governor Abbott, to me, is nothing but a piece of crap. Because if somebody can have that kind of hatred in them, and his state is the one state in the United States that has the mass majority of death executions in his place.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can have a government leading this country that allows these things to happen. A government that, first of all, is going over to other countries or spending all of U.S. monies to other countries when its own is falling apart. And then a president that allows a governor to do all of these things to cause so much pain and suffering to these children. And this really upsets me. And it really, it shows that this is why we have mass incarceration. Because we have people in leadership that don't care about these people in prison. They don't care that many of these, thousands of these people in prisons are wrongfully convicted. They don't care that thousands of these people are first-time offenders, that thousands of these people were victims before becoming offenders. They don't care. They don't care. And these people can rot, as far as they're concerned, these people can rot in prison, but yet their families can be out here voting for them.
Yeah, it's insane.
I would never vote for another politician. I'm sorry, but I've learned the hard way about politicians. They believe in lies. They believe in, they don't want to challenge. They're weak, just like everybody on the news. A lot of people that they've been interviewing on the news have talked about Joe Biden's weakness. He's very weak. But Donald Trump, is as bad as people hate him, and we might not like his ways, but Donald Trump is a determination. He's determined to get his way, and he's doing it, even with the courts. They're so afraid of him, they don't want to do anything, so they're making all these threats, but they're not following through. What does that tell the people that are watching in other countries that are watching? It tells Donald Trump is a leader. Unfortunately, he's not the kind of leader that I would want leading me, because he too, like DeSantis, has his biases, his prejudices.
But he didn't start a war.
He didn't start a war. And he didn't keep it up. I mean, we went from Ukraine and Russia to Israel and Gaza. Now it's Iran is involved, China's involved, Russia's, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what we have to look forward to every day, watching the same old news,
yeah,
repetitive stuff, because we know our government's not going to do anything. The judges, judicial court, superior court, whatever the case may be, they're not going to do nothing but make promises that they're going to, what, gag orders?
Yeah, and it's always, you know, with these wars, it's always about to keep America safe. But the thing is, you are on the other side of the ocean. If the war will extend, then Europe gets the bombs, not the United States. We get the problems here. So that's a fairy tale about, that's the same as why they have mass incarceration. It's always about security, safety, you know, it's making communities afraid of each other and then keep them suppressed.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it, but it's a false security. It's false. It's nonsense. You haven't had a war in your country since the Civil War. We become the victims. So the United States now is trying to, how do you say that? It's now trying to get involved with Iran. But, you know, if a war breaks out, it's Europe. It's Europe that we the citizens of Europe, we become the victim.
Exactly.
It scares the hell out of me.
They've been attacking Iran, and it's been on the news. These, you know, I want to say 9/11 did happen, and it did happen in this country. But you know what I say, even with the Gaza, the people of Gaza did not attack Israel. They say Hamas attacked Israel. And look at who's suffering the most. You know, and Netanyahu, his own people don't like him, and yet they keep him in, they, for somehow,
exactly,
some reason, he's been able to stay in office. And as a result, he's pretty much destroyed. He did to the people in Gaza what was done to the people of the Jewish people by Hitler. Netanyahu's,
yeah,
exact same thing. And
yeah,
what happened? Our government is supporting this.
Yeah. Yeah, because the United States was the only country that had a veto. They didn't want to have a ceasefire. All the countries wanted to have a ceasefire except the United States. But the whole world is watching Gaza. Gaza is like a concentration camp without gas chambers.
Exactly.
And you see, and we are all watching it, and it's just still happening. I don't understand it anymore, Leon. I don't understand it anymore. I don't understand the world anymore.
With your book, Suspended Values and Concentration Camp and Prison, what's happening in Gaza is right now reminds me of the book you wrote about concentration camp and prison. This is the way it is in the prisons as well. They're being, people in prison are being slaughtered, you know, and it's in the United States government sits back and lets it, allows it to happen. You know, governors,
yeah,
in each of the states allow it to happen. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the Gaza. And I'll tell you, going back to 9/11, when you think about the people that have lost their loved ones through all these wars the United States has been a part of, eventually,
yeah,
they're going to find a way to get back at the United States. Because these people that are attacking or trying to attack the United States are the children of people who have been killed by the United States, with the United States help. These are children,
yeah,
that have grown now to be men. and they're trying to find a way to get back at the very people who took away their family members, who took away their loved ones. We have a president right now whose son has been involved in some kind of criminal activities that they've been trying to arrest. And the mother spoke out about a week or two ago and said, it's tearing our family apart. We love our son. His grandchildren are devastated. You know, we hurt. I am so sick of hearing it because they don't care about the families of others. They don't care about us and our loved ones who are being persecuted. And this is what really makes me mad, because why should we feel bad for somebody else that has completely destroyed our families as well? And it's caused our families to go out and stumble, to do violence to others. And this is what's happening right now with the people in the Middle East, and the people in Gaza and Israel, the people in Ukraine and Russia and Iran and China and all of these other countries. The United States do a lot of damage. They don't realize, or maybe they do, but they just want to show their power. And this is what we're up against right now. And the people, not all the people in the United States of America, are in agreement with what's happening right now that's being done out there because of our own government leaders.
Yeah, and it's sad. And if you think about safety and security in your country, it would help so much if you have real rehabilitation programs in all the states and all the prison systems in the states. I see it with my own eyes, in my own work, when people work with themselves, in themselves, go through this process, what I call deeper justice, then you get a safe community. People get out, they are healed, they come to understanding why did they commit crime, they can change for the good. There are so many opportunities, but they don't take it, and that's so sad, because it's about human beings. The human beings behind the walls are the same human beings as we are. The only difference is the wall. That's the only difference, and that makes me sad, you know.
You know, Miriam, when I first had you come on, and it was a blessing, when you first came on and you spoke of deeper justice, that's the first time I heard of anybody that came out with deeper justice. And you can find deeper justice, everyone, on Facebook. When you came out with deeper justice, you spoke about not the victim, not the offender, but the causes behind crime. This is something our government doesn't focus on. Why did this happen? You know, this is why the media is wrong, because they don't go in to find out both sides before reporting one-sided stories. Mm-hmm. Now, I've interviewed you and Frank DeBruin from the Netherlands as well. He was on the show yesterday, and he spoke about his organization, or he doesn't call it an organization. He calls it his workshop, but he brings in people coming out of prison who have no place to go and nothing to do. And he does all the work that he does for the incarcerated coming out without monies. And I have to tell him about some resources that he should check into. Because in this country, a lot of people who are getting resources are doing very little to nothing to help the incarcerated population. They're picking and choosing. Many of them are using the monies for their own loved ones that are incarcerated. And this is sad. This is very sad, because many of us who are doing absolutely trying to do everything we can without any funding, using our own funding, are being ignored or being turned against. But those people that are advocating in the United States to help prisoners, not all of them. Look at American Civil Liberties Union on their website. They help people incarcerated. That's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie, because, as I mention all the time, three prisoners passed away. They were alleged to have committed suicide in Pennsylvania back in 2007 and 8. In a three-month span, these people died crying out for help. I made every effort I could to try to get ACLU before each one of them passed away, before each one of them died. Pennsylvania American Civil Liberties Union, I made efforts to contact them before each one died, and after each one died, I contacted them again. These people didn't care.
The ACLU, they didn't care too?
They did not care. They will take up cases like immigration, anything that's going to bring them all kinds of money. But when it comes to individuals that are hurting, that are crying out for help, and these people, these three prisoners in Pennsylvania, kept in the hole, being abused, and they weren't serving a life sentence. One of them was due to come out five months, I believe it was, before he was killed or alleged to have committed suicide. legislative members. I reached out to a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they did nothing until the last one.
But that shows that the problems are structural problems. They are not individual problems. It's we are talking about structural problems. The structure itself is sick. Because,
you know,
there are so many of these. Do you remember a few years ago that we talked about this man who was boiled to death in the shower?
Yes, in Florida. Daryl Rainey. You know, these kind
of... Yeah, Daryl Rainey. Yeah.
I cannot sleep at night when I hear this one recently. What was his name? The one that leaped over the judge's bench to attack the judge. Dion, or whatever his name was, a previous judge had ordered him to be evaluated by a behavioral psychologist. And that incompetent psychologist found him competent to go before the judge. And that day he went before the judge, and we see what happened. He went out to attack the judge. He was beaten badly. And then the next day they said he didn't want to appear in court for what he did. But when they did bring him into court the next day or a couple of days later, his face was so badly mangled that they had a spit mask on him. And you know what? I'm waiting to see what happens. But I reached out because I could not sleep knowing that this person was being tormented now for what he did, although he had a psychological problem. This individual has some anger issues. He has some things. His family wasn't in court, which shows that there are serious problems that he's experiencing. I reached out to Al Sharpton, who has his own show on CNN News, and I asked him to talk about if it's at all possible. And I mentioned with you and Franz Dow and others from other countries that have been to this country that have seen all the mental health issues. I reached out to him or reached out to his National Action Network to see if they would get a message to him to see if he would be willing to hold some kind of a forum.
Yeah.
To talk about the mental health issues we have in this country. Nikki Haley brought it up herself the other day in Iowa. She mentioned that we have a serious problem with mental health issues in the United States. I haven't heard back from Al Sharpton's office. I haven't heard back from the National Action Network. I contacted NAACP and asked them to get a message to their President Johnson. Nothing?
No, nothing. Nobody responds.
They just had this Martin Luther King conference in Boston. And all these people are quick to come from out of state because they're going before the media. They're showing all their power, their presence, and everything else. But yet, the people, the very people that are being affected by all of this garbage, they ignore.
And it's so cynical to call it a Martin Luther a conference. Martin Luther King, he would really be so devastated.
Upset. That's what I'm saying. Martin Luther King fought for justice. These people behind him are fighting for power and monies and everything else. But if they cared at all, they would not have deserted the people behind these prison walls that are suffering, as that Daryl Rainey suffered.
Exactly. You know? And it's beyond words what is going on. It's really beyond
words. Mental health issues. And you know
what mental health. Yeah, man, there are a huge mental health. Health issue in your country, in our country, we have these forensic psychiatry, people who committed the crime while having mental issues, so they get treatment. And we also believe in keeping the sentence in prison as short as possible to keep the damage that is done by incarceration as little as possible.
25 years was brought up recently, too, I noticed. I forgot what state it was in, but there was mention of 25 years. And also there was mention of the age of responsibility, trying to raise it to the age of 26 and under. Marion, we have 50 seconds left. So would you please give the audience your contact information once again and the name of your book?
Yeah, the name of my book is Suspended Values in Concentration Camp and Prison. I have two websites. One website is also translated in English. It's www.deeperjustice.com. There you can also find the documentary that I've been in about that was in the Florida prison system. But you also can read about my book. The other website is www.mariamjacobs.com, but it's not yet in English. So it's better to look at the website Deeper Justice, because then you can read it in your own language. I'm also on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Deeper Justice. I'm on LinkedIn, and I am on Instagram.
You're all over the place.
Yeah, well, I'm not so active on social media this moment, because there's also a lot of crap on social media. So
yeah.
I would like it the most if people, you know, go to my own website. Then you can see who I am, the work that I do, the book that I've written, and the documentary that I've been in. So that's my website.
And audience, you can find Mariam Jacobs going on the internet, typing in Mariam Jacobs on Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, or you can type in her name, because she's all over the place, just as Franz Dow is. And Frank DeBrune, also Mariam, had written a book, and he was talking yesterday about his book is not in English. It's not in the bookstores in the United States, because it has to be translated into English. And his publisher doesn't see that as a possibility, or as at least as a possibility for them. So I don't know how he's going to do that. But I want to thank you for coming on, Mariam. And I hope that you'll be coming on again soon, because we've missed you. We've missed your insight into all the things that are going on. And we need to bring awareness to the United States, the American people, about the truth and what's going on around the world, and what's going on in the U.S. penal system, which they have been misled by many, because many have not really searched into it, or many are trying to deceive them. But thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you will come on again. Is there any last minute that you'd like to say to the audience?
Yeah, I want to say, let's please take care of our incarcerated brothers and sisters.
Thank you so much.
Very needed. And thank you for having me, and I will be back soon. I'll be back. That's what
Arnold
Schwarzenegger said. Yeah, in the film.
It's funny you say Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was just on TV last night. They were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then you came out with this, I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. Okay,
thank you very much. Audience, thank you so much for listening in, and I hope you'll join us again. The next time, I believe Brother Hess will be on Saturday at 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. So please join us Saturday, and we will take it from there. Once again, we want to thank Mariam Jacobs, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands. We want to thank her for coming on and sharing her book with us, Suspended Values in Concentration Camp in Prison, for sharing her insight on the things that are going on, the serious issues that are going on in the United States prisons and around the country. We want to thank her once again for having her on, and I thank her for allowing us to have this privilege. Thank you so much, Mariam. Audience, we are now going to end this episode.